Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Jazz Parada, and it is a solo run for college football week. Was this 10, I think? I think it's week 10. Yep, week 10. This is easily it's become the most anticipated slate of games of the year for me. We've got one versus one. Bama-LSU is a great, great game. Clemson-Notre Dame is a great, great game. And I like Baylor-Oklahoma, that has Big 12 title implications. Texas-K-State, Big 12 title implications. I can go on and on. There's plenty more. And, you know, it's been quite the college football betting season for me personally, too. So, it's got me feeling myself a little bit. I'm holding on to a Hendon Hooker Heisman ticket, as well as, I think, the Sharp Side's boy, Drake May. And, you know, I even got a little Bo Nix in there, too. Regardless, I think that it's been a bit of a shocking college football season, in a sense, because I don't think anyone really thought that Tennessee would be as great as they are now. And, you know, I think that Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State aren't necessarily on this pedestal that no one can reach, which I'm check the tapes. Hey, I think I was right about that too. But it's the first college football podcast in a little bit of a week, or in a few weeks, so apologies there. I am recording this on a Thursday night. Got App State, Coastal Carolina on the background. Coastal is taking them to the woodshed currently. But just to recap, you know, what's been going on the past few weeks. Tennessee, it's the main story. They beat Bama, and then they stomp on Kentucky. I think there's some other. It was like UT Martin. Hooker was benched. He was benched in the second quarter. They were winning by so much. And I think more notably is they got Cedric Tillman back. Which, all the attention, and deservedly so, goes to Hyatt, the speedster who just runs in the straight line, and then you know, you're following the ball in the air, and all of a sudden has 10 yards of space, and he catches an 80-yard touchdown, or at least that's what seemed to happen against Bama like four times. But I think Tillman's better, and giving Hooker another weapon like that, and I mean, Hendon Hooker, I think, is the deserved Heisman favorite. I don't necessarily think he's this incredible can't-miss college quarterback. He's, like, very, very good, and I think that the Josh Heupel system kind of, you know, it props him up a bit, which, and full credit to Hooker for, I mean, hanging around this long, first of all. He's a elite, elite athlete, and it's truly just, like, kind of bided his time a little bit. I feel like, I mean, Joe Milton started over him. And you can think back a couple weeks ago, and we were clowning Joe Milton's ass because the dude kind of sucked. And I think it's good. I've just wanted some fresh blood, you know, I don't even know what to call it. Just a new sort of power to rise up, and I think that Tennessee is becoming that. And I don't even think that's reactionary either. They have what some people think is the best quarterback in the country coming next year. And the recruiting profiles all on the rise, so it's good. We're in need of someone trying to break into the protected top three of Georgia, Ohio State, and Bama. And I think with Tennessee, Michigan to a lesser extent, I mean even Texas to a lesser extent with the way they've been recruiting, I think we're slowly, slowly getting there. So it's good. Throw USC in there too. I already kind of mentioned, I got this on my little sheet here. It is a little bit shaky at the top. Georgia, I still think, is the best team in the country. But, you know, Ohio State didn't necessarily convince me. They needed a all-universe effort from Tuiomalau, if I said that right, JT Tuiomalau. Their defensive end, what was it, three turnovers, a pick six, led to 21 points, 28 points, whatever it was. And they got past a good Penn State team. Good, not great. I will say, As I look at it now, I think Penn State matched up with Ohio State a lot better just because of how great they are in the secondary. But, hey, Ohio State has some things to figure out, especially on offense, if against Michigan. Because Michigan, I think, will come with a little bit better of a pass rush, and it's going to make Stroud have to – it's going to force him to make decisions a whole lot quicker. And last week, I mean, I know it was over 300 yards, but it looked a little shaky for sure. So, I don't know. I'm not so fully convinced on the Buckeyes as you know, the number one team in the country. Just in terms of the sharp side, James has turned it around very slowly, I will add. But I think two or three winning weeks in a row, so it's good for him. And my sheet is just mostly green, so I'm feeling myself in so many different ways, and it feels good. But let's get to the games. Of course, we got to start with Georgia-Tennessee. Number one in the AP poll versus number one in the college football playoff poll. That was released. I think Tennessee is very live here. To me, it feels a lot like LSU at Bama a few years ago, where the only I think Bama was laying about a touchdown, I think, or it was around a touchdown for most of the week, and it came down below. I actually bet Bama in that game despite holding like a long LSU ticket. I think it was 32-1, 36-1. And are we sure that Tennessee is not the better team here? I know I just said that I think Georgia's the best team in the country, but Tennessee certainly has, I think, a few like glaring matchup advantages where Georgia is not going to be able to run the ball. And I think that means that Stetson Bennett is going to have a lot of second and third and longs, and that means he's going to have to make the plays. And I think that I think there's a little bit of a misconception here where I think because of last year, we assume that Georgia is this, you know, all-world defensive team once again, but the offense has been, I mean, arguably the best in college football. And, you know, it's, they've, like, teams have been able to score on them. And I think this is the best defense Georgia has played in probably since Missouri, but other than that, like, all year. And, you know, it's, I think that Georgia may have issues moving the ball a little bit. In a shootout, I would gladly take Tennessee over Georgia here. So I bet some Tennessee 10-1 to win the national title. I think they're very live. I think I might bet them to win the SEC too. I think they're very live to win this game, and it smacked me a couple days ago. Just this is so similar to LSU because, just like LSU, Tennessee came in as regarded, but not, you know, they're not the consistent power that Georgia and Bama are. So, you know, you get to this spot in the year in a road game, and books just will not adjust that number. And, you know, maybe I'm completely wrong because there are plenty of people much smarter than me who are betting Georgia because, you know, they all say this game should be 10. This game should be, you know, 12, 13. And so maybe that's just the thing I'm missing right here, but I don't know. This is it feels like Tennessee has too much talent on the outside, and I think that the Tennessee receiver battle versus the Georgia secondary battle is going to be a real treat to watch. So very excited to see this has to be the first 1-versus-1 game, right? Maybe there's a coaches poll, AP poll matchup from a few days ago, but who knows? Excited. Go Vols. Go Vols. Next we'll go to Baylor versus Oklahoma. You know, not as quite maybe big in lowercase letters, not so much as the uppercase as 1-versus-1 is, but Baylor Oklahoma. I bet Baylor to win the Big 12. I bet them 16-1 earlier this week, and I do like Baylor in this game. Oklahoma's defense is just such a disaster. Baylor should be able to do whatever they want. Blake Shapen has been sneaky, very, very good despite a bunch of injuries this year. And I think next year we might be talking about Baylor like we're talking about TCU, where they're in the college football playoff conversation. On the other side, I think Dylan Gabriel really elevates the Oklahoma offense, but I think that Dave Aranda's just multi-look scheme on defense should just carry a massive advantage here like it has for most of the season. I mean, it really, really, really messed with Texas Tech last week, and I think that they have somewhat of a comparable offense in terms of skill and ability, so and effectiveness. But Baylor plus 3.5 in money line, just for round robins, parlays, whatever you're getting into, I think those are worth a look. Texas versus Kansas State, game is a pick. Total is at 54.5. I lean Texas here. Don't love it. I think it's just a pretty decent time to go in on Texas. I haven't yet. I'm still kind of deciding. But I think we saw Quinn Ewers' worst against Oklahoma State, and they still almost won on the road, which, you know, I think with a week off and time to prepare for K-State's very good secondary and defensive front, I think that, you know, Texas should be ready to roll. And I think it was weird, like, it was a lot of bad timing and, like, bad decision-making from Texas, which we really hadn't seen all year, even against Bama, that first, you know, quarter or two against Bama. And on the other side, I think last week's blowout was a touch misleading. Gundy was talking about how, because of all the injuries Oklahoma State has had, that he held a bunch of players out of practice. And it's so you really got like a D-minus effort out of Oklahoma State last week. I mean, F effort. That was abysmal. It was what, 48-0? But those K-State bets cashed. And, you know, I think that with the Will Howard, Adrian Martinez stuff, is Adrian Martinez healthy? He did practice today. I think he's a game-time decision. I would expect him to play. But this is, I think this is a much better defense they're going up against now, and especially off a week of rest. I do kind of like Texas in this spot, but haven't bet it yet. You'll know Friday night if I'm on it or not, or if I decide that day, I'll make sure to tweet it out. Bama, LSU. This is an interesting game for me. On one hand, I've been very vocal about, you know, this not being, quote-unquote, the best college football team of all time or the best college football team Nick Saban has ever had. On the other hand, I would like to get on LSU here. I'm going to wait it out to see if I can get a 14. It is, I believe it's a night game. And Death Valley at night is quite possibly the hardest place to play in college football. And for, you know, receivers who can't catch, and with a sus secondary, and I think it could be pretty tough for Bama to play Bama ball where they just dominate you and blow you out. 14 points is a lot. You know me, you know I like a good money line dog, but I think that it's just hard to get me on a money line bet. I think that LSU keeps it within the number, but it's Bryce Young. He wins these games, so. And ultimately, that is just enough to keep me off, you know, wasting, you know, a couple bucks on a money line bet. But to stay within 14, which I will need, I missed that, and I do really want that 14. So that's my angle there. Nothing really. Maybe Bryce Young under on receiving yards. I do think LSU, Bama's going to run the ball and move it that way more so than passing. But moving on to Clemson, Notre Dame. It's Clemson's first like real road test, right? Because if I remember correctly, NC State was at home, and Wake was at home. Could be wrong about Wake. But Notre Dame at night. It's another just crazy tough venue for a quarterback who has had some really intense struggles. The pressure is certainly on him now, but he just continues to be impressive and say the right things. Off a bye, I think it's pretty great spot for Clemson. I bet minus 3.5. Do like them here. I think they just have a massive talent edge. Up front, I think Clemson's O-line should be able to do enough to slow down what is just still a beastly front seven for Notre Dame despite injuries. And I don't know if Notre Dame has the talent to really take advantage of Clemson's deficiencies against the run on defense. So at Clemson 3.5, I think is so cheap. I thought we were going to get 4.5, 5, or 6. But this Notre Dame team has not been super impressive. So give me Clemson here to cover the 3.5. For other games, my favorite look by far, I bet Navy plus 20.5, and I bet Moneyline plus 900. It's a pretty big sandwich spot for Cincinnati. They have at East Carolina on deck. East Carolina has been one of like the better teams, and definitely a team you have to scheme up for in the American. I do think Cincinnati will be looking ahead to this, and it's triple option after getting abused by the ground game against UCF. That game should have been UCF. We had UCF, so it was quite the stressful watch. But UCF should have won that game by 4 touchdowns. Cincinnati was so outmatched up front. I'm still at a loss for the fact that I had to sweat that until a minute left, 30 seconds left. It was something else. But it's be prepared. Could look silly with this. So the Navy is a bad football team. They just have a gimmick thing, which after going up against UCF, I think is a perfect time to buy in. And at 20.5, I could not pass it up. I would bet this down to 17. So there you go. UCF minus 5 against Memphis team James and I love to fade. There are 3.5s out there now, so go ahead and take advantage of the better number. I, of course, would bet 3.5 as well. I think UCF is right now, I think they're the class of the American, even more so than Tulane. And I think that they should really handle Memphis, who I think is so fraudulent. And so I expect them to win pretty easy. I think they blow them out. I'm going to look into alternate spreads as well. And then finally, Florida, Texas A&M. I like over 55.5. Florida's defense stinks. I do think that Connor Weigman, the freshman, he is as advertised, 5-star, really elevated. And him and Evan Stewart already have great chemistry. I think Texas A&M is going to be a truck next year. I know it's easy to hate on Jimbo. Jimbo just needs to hire a younger offensive assistant to help him kind of revamp plays. And if he doesn't do that, then they're screwed again. But Connor Weigman is a legit beast, and I think that they're going to have one of the more exciting teams. And I think we're going to start to see that next year. So, and I think this is the start of it. I think the second half of the season, we're going to see the A&M talent really shine. So, and it starts on offense, and we're going to see a lot of points this week. So, Florida, A&M, over 55.5. That's it. Rate, review. It was a quick one. Rate, review, and subscribe, Apple Podcast. I will try and get an NFL one in with James. Austin's has had a crazy work schedule, so it's been pretty rough to get him on these, but we'll try my best. I'm going to try and do something, start a new schedule in the mornings, and maybe try and do some sort of daily college basketball thing, or just in terms of all the betting markets that I look at in general. Could be, you know, awards, futures, etc. Whatever I decide on, wake up and do. So, yeah. That was the Sharp Side Podcast, College Football Week 10. Thank you guys for listening, and let's go win even more money this weekend than we already have. So, thank you.